It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Ford Tough Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Wednesday morning. Of course, plenty of sports to talk about today. Baseball teams with not a good night, but we are smack dab in the middle of what should be a fun rest of September with hopefully a good ending. It's amazing to me last year what we heard from Jets fans after week one when they lost Aaron Rodgers but won the game against Buffalo. Everybody felt great somehow with Zach Wilson. But after Monday night with Aaron Rodgers being healthy, everybody's screaming about how the Jets suck. It's just, I mean, I understand what business we're in here, but I mean, can we just relax occasionally with some of these things? You got 16 more games to go, and you got a pretty damn good team, so I think they're going to be all right with the schedule that they have. And of course, this morning and the rest of the day, you will see in New York and elsewhere across the country ceremonies and remembrances of the 23rd anniversary of 9/11/2001. And we all know how much it affected everybody here and this city, and still affects many people here in this city. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. It certainly affects me as my offices were on the 101st floor of that North Tower. I will never forget, although it seems like a lot of Americans have forgotten about it, and today is a very somber day for those families that have to deal with the memories and the videos and the rehashing of all the open wounds that still exist to this day. And to all the people that went down to that area and worked on it and ended up getting sick because of it, it is absolutely 100% the worst day in American history. Right behind that would be Pearl Harbor in my eyes. And the amount of people that were affected, the amount of people that were killed, and then the aftermath of all of it and the political wrangling after all of it, man, makes you long for Mayor Bloomberg, actually. But I will say that, my heart goes out to the Guckert O'Brien family. Timmy was my best buddy, and I lost him that day. And unfortunately for me, I was in Denver, and I could not get back here until the end of the week. We all have a story about that. Went down to the rubble and heard the FDNY and NYPD guys just absolutely wailing because they knew that they lost so many people that day. And I'll never forget those images, never forget those moments. So it is a real thing. I have never forgotten. I know there are a lot of people out there who have also never forgotten, but I wonder if the majority of Americans really do remember. And that's why it's important to really take a moment and think about it. I've done this, and I know that my buddy Timmy is up there watching us talk about Yankees, the Giants, his beloved Knicks and Rangers. So I got the great job in the world to be able to talk about it, and look forward to doing that today. But I will never, ever, ever forget what happened 23 years ago.
Of course not. And we saw right away some of the imagery of never forget when it happened. I mean, talking days after, never forget. And here we are 20,
3 years later, saying the same stuff. Hopefully people understanding the importance of today and recognizing those who lost their lives completely unexpectedly and those who ran towards the disaster and lost their lives. And I don't know if you do the same, but there's many days this time of year where you get a beautiful day like today that I go, this was the weather.
This was the day, yeah.
This was it. It's the same feeling. It's like, all right, it's early September. It's this beautiful day. It's blue skies, which is contrasting, obviously, to the emotions that you had later, which is very strange. But I even walked outside yesterday on the 10th, and I was like, man, like, you just look up into the sky, and you're like, gee, you get that chilling feeling because we're right here. I mean, we're right here. You look to the left when I go outside of the building and you see the Freedom Tower, and it just, obviously, it hits you more during the anniversary, and you also just, it's sort of just in the air when you get these beautiful days like this.
So. Well, for all of us, I mean, around here, whether you live in New Jersey, Long Island, Connecticut, you think back to that fateful day, and then you think the days following it, and you were going through your town, and on a Saturday, the train stations were still filled with cars of guys and women who were commuters, and cars were left in those train stations. And I'll never forget the Manhasset train station was full for about a week with cars of guys and gals that never came home. So, again, those are the images, and I also remember trying to talk to our kids about it and make everybody understand what was going on, and then watching the kids that were left behind, and most of them, if not all of them, that I presently know, are doing extremely well, and I think their dads, in my case, would be very, very proud of what they've turned out to be, and their widows did an amazing job raising them. So there is a silver lining at the end of all this. I don't know where it's going to end up, but all I do know is that those kids have turned out to be great, and I know their dads, like I said, would be proud.
And we do mention it every year. I mean, it truly is amazing the image of you that you have personally that you've shared, which is it's the Bengals helmet that somehow
on an ambulance,
and all the rubble from your office that day is one of, knowing you as well as I know you now, one of the most chilling photographs I've ever seen. And I think about it more than just today, but today I always think
I'll tweet that picture out again, because I try to do it every year as a subtle reminder. Well, it's also a pretty strong reminder of what took place that day. So we're all affected. I mean, when you're personally affected by something like this, it never leaves you. I don't think it's ever left anybody that knew Timmy O'Brien or that knew Mike Seaman or Vinny Abadi or any of those people. And I don't want to get into all naming, the names will be named, but I just, you know, when you are friends with these people and you see what their families had gone through, that's why today is so powerful for so many. And, you know, we want to bring entertainment. We want to talk about sports.
We
want to
talk about today.
And we will, 100%. But we also want to make sure that we touch on this, because it is a very, very important time in our country, and how we all were affected and how we all came together literally right after that. I mean, all of us came together from all different backgrounds. And I'll never forget that was the part that, especially if you were in sports and watching what the Giants and the Jets did, watching what the Mets and the Yankees did. I mean, those things were really, really important for our country. And we happen to be in the middle of all of it, and that's the greatness of this particular job. So we can be a little bit distracted by sports, but sports was what brought this country back together.
Yeah, I mean, I have such vivid memories of the sports around here at that time too. You know, with the Mets and the Yankees and the FDNY and NYPD hats, and seeing Bobby Valentine and the Mets and Joe Torre and the Yankees go down to Ground Zero and hand out bottles of water and all of those things. And when the NFL season ended up starting, I remember even with the Patriots coming out and Joe Andruzzi with the flag, and just there's just so many of those memories. And obviously we know, you know, the Yankees end up in the World Series that year. You've got amazing stories about that of family members that had lost loved ones that were a part of that World Series, of what it meant to them. The Mets getting so close to coming back from a miserable start in 2001 and almost making the playoffs, and that Piazza home run that was so iconic, and unfortunately succumbing once again to Brian Jordan and the Atlanta Braves. But I guess just because of that time of history where I was that age and obviously what had happened, my memories of that time of those sports teams are so vivid, more so than any other year around, and understandably so.
You know, I'll leave it at this. The NFL shut down for a week, rightfully so. We got back up and running the week after. I guess it was probably about 10, 12, 14 days after the event, or 12 days after the 9/11 event. And I was working for Fox at the time, and I was told to stay in New York because I was doing that show out in L.A. every weekend, and I would have to fly every weekend on Saturday out to Fox, and we had the early morning show before their pregame show. And I was working with Jay Moore, Billy Ray Smith, Deacon Jones, Chris Myers, I think, was the host. And they said, stay in New York, and we want you to do your live hits from the USS Comfort, which was actually brought here into New York Harbor, and they didn't need it. You know, that was the sad aspect of it. And I remember doing the hits for that show, and also, I think, for the Fox pregame show from the deck of that ship. And it was surreal being down here on that ship with the smoldering pile of the buildings that had collapsed. So it's vivid for me too, and it's also emotional for me. But like I said, we have a job to do, and we'll do it today. And we got two pennant races going on. We got two football teams that have to get their collective acts together this weekend, and there's a lot of other sports news going on as well. But we just wanted to make sure that we touched on this and spoke about it and made sure that we touched it with the right feeling.
Yes, absolutely. So as I mentioned before we got into the remembrance, I mean, maybe it's because I'm not a Jets fan that but I feel like I understand the Jets fan because of the teams that I root for. But I was thinking about last year, and we had Brandon playoffs with Zach. And I'm not criticizing these guys. I'm just surprised at their take. And Joe Beningo, I feel pretty good about this, bro, when he came on after the Bills game. And Aaron Rodgers is hurt, but they won the game. And then yesterday, the crushing of this team, you know, from Evan. I heard Joe's take. I heard Tiki say that Jets fans were lazy in their evaluation of this team and their roster isn't as good as you think it is. It's just like, and who knows where the season's going to go, but the way I feel right now, don't we understand that all of this stuff, you got to look at the circumstances, and you got to look at this, and I'll use one of those terms that I hate that management will use. You got to look at this from 30,000 feet up in the air.
I thought it was 10,000 feet.
It's 30,000.
It's 30,000? Is it 30,000?
Yeah, 30,000, because you're up in a plane, right?
Right, it's normal cruising altitude.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, I see. So cruising altitude at 37,000. Or 40,000.
Depends on the plane.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, and by the way, I want Eddie to pull this from the warm-up show where Jerry asked Eddie one of the most ridiculous questions. Like, I don't know why he brought Eddie in with this. They were talking about, like, male hormones. And he's like, right, Eddie? Don't they? We'll pull it later.
All right,
because
it was
just perfect. But anyway. All right, so they go out to San Francisco. The 49ers probably should have won the Super Bowl last year. They've been building. It's in their building out there. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played in essentially 2 years. And they got crushed. They got beat. But look at the schedule coming up. They're going to get better. That might be the worst game that the defense plays all year. And to be like that pissed off about it in week one was just surprising to me. Well, you want to see him play better, but Lord, God.
I mean, it was like a tough take. You know, everybody had a tough take yesterday. We tried to come in here, be a little bit more practical about our takes on this whole thing. We knew it was going to be a tough game. You and I both thought they were going to cover.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to win, but I thought they would keep it a little bit closer. And maybe they would have had a few things gone, you know, one way or the other, but that's the way the games go. But this is a 49ers team, like I said yesterday, has been together and has been building. They have a quarterback that has been in that pocket for the last 2 years. Everybody loves the guy. He's actually amazing, an amazing player. He's got some of the best players in the NFL that are around him. And quite frankly, that's a team that's been building and is one of the best rosters in football. The Jets, especially on offense. Now, the defensive performance, nobody's happy with. And I'm sure they're not happy with it. But on offense, man, like you have so many guys that have not played together. I don't think people understand what it means to go out on the field in these high pressurized situations. Like when Aaron Rodgers goes out there with Devontae Adams when they were in the Green Bay, man, he knew where he was all the time. They had that sixth sense with each other. And yesterday I said this is like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. He hasn't really developed that yet with anybody under real fire. This was the first foray into that. So I saw the arm strength. I saw the accuracy. I saw the quick release. I saw all the things that we all love about Aaron Rodgers. So it's only going to get better. And I thought that the pass protection was pretty damn good.
Yeah, and him getting the ball out was pretty damn good too, something that we were worried about. So, yeah, I mean, there are some positives there. And, yes, the defense got roasted, but they got roasted against one of the best offensive teams in football that's got weapons all over the place and is basically in their window right now.
Now, I will say this. In regards to a warning shot across the bow, the Tennessee Titans spent almost $300 million on their roster in the offseason. The biggest difference, obviously, between the Titans and the 49ers is going to be the offense that the Titans are going to run out there.
Also, quarterback.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Led by the quarterback, Will Levis, who had like a number of brain cramps against Chicago. And the defense has got to get turnovers if they're going to win this game. The Titans defense is not going to be an easy defense for a Jet offense that showed flashes that's only going to get better over time. I would have liked to have them play the Titans maybe 4 or 5 weeks from now, but they're on the schedule. They're better than you think they are. They put a lot of money into their roster. They have cover corners. They have pass rushers. And it's not going to be an easy game whatsoever. Like, we all think that this is going to be one of these mail-in games. You got something else coming to you. And
well, I'm sure listen, they're favorites on the road.
Because of Will Levis. That is why. And that offense, just like the Jet offense, that Titan offense has got to get used to each other as well. And this is where the defense is usually stand up and, you know, hold up pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, I don't know if it opened at 4.5 or 3.5, but, you know, the Jets are a 3.5-point favorite on the road. So, I mean, you built in 3 points for the road team. So if this game were at home, the Jets would be a 6.5 or 7-point favorite. Yes, it's not going to, there's no real cakewalks as we saw. I thought that the New England Patriots are going to be the worst team in football. They go into Cincinnati, they win week one. There's no cakewalks in the NFL. But if the Jets want to have a good season and they want to keep up with the other teams in the division, and oh, by the way, all of them won in week one, these are the games they got to win.
Yeah, it's kind of like the AFC North. You know, it's going to be a dogfight until December. You know, and you can't overreact one way or the other. If Aaron Rodgers is down and throws for 400 yards this week, which is not going to happen, by the way, but if he did and you came out of there 1-1 and, you know, you won by, you know, 10 points, everybody thinks it's back on track. I mean, all they have to do is figure out a way to win the game. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter how it looks, but they can't lose the game. That's the point. That's the pressure point.
That's when we'll start getting a little bit crazy, is if they start 0-2 and then end up losing this game and look like crap in the process of doing it. But not after week one.
I'm just saying, it's the quarterbacks that they're playing now. You know, they just played a quarterback that was in the MVP race last year until the end of last year, and they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So this week, it's a quarterback that still has made mind-numbing mistakes when he's on the field. And you got to force him into those same mistakes. The reason the Chicago Bears won is because of a block punt and because of a interception return from Will Levis. What he was doing, I have no idea. There's no way to explain it. And Chicago came back from a 17-point deficit and beat the Titans at home with Cale Williams not doing much. That's how bad that quarterback had to be for the Titans in order for the Bears to win. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
So this is the quarterback that they have to go against, and the next group of quarterbacks that they go against are not even remotely close to where Aaron Rodgers is. I could tell you Brock Purdy is probably ahead of Aaron Rodgers just because of the guys that he's playing with, the coach that he has, the offense that they run, and how he seamlessly fits into that offense. That's not the case with Will Levis.
Yeah, for the first time in a very long time, you could say that the Jets have a distinct quarterback advantage for several games in a row. That is, you haven't been able to say that in years.
And that's why they're favored.
All right, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just getting started on this Wednesday morning. We'll talk to Jerry in just a couple of minutes. He'll give you all the details from the Mets and Yankees last night.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Gio.
All right, Boomer and Gio on Fan and CBS Sports Network. Not a great day for the Mets or Yankees, especially when you looked around the league as well. Jerry Recco is here, and he's got all that and more. What's up, Jerry?
Morning brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. And no, not a great night at all. We'll start up in Toronto, Blue Jays and Mets.
Swung on, pounded out towards right center field. Nimmo's on the run. Back to the warning track. He stops at the wall. It bangs off the base of the wall. One run scores. Here comes Clement. Schneider's on his way to third. He gets there with a two-run triple, and the Blue Jays have a 4-1 lead.
And that was Pat McCarthy with the call on Odyssey Mets Radio, the third inning doing in the Mets. And David Peterson, who had been so steady, 6-2 the final as the Mets dropped the middle game of three. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Tough night for Peterson and the team.
He had a hard time putting hitters away when he was, the few times he got ahead, he just had a hard time putting hitters away. And then we didn't make a couple of plays defensively. It was just not a good night for us.
No, it was not. Alejandro Kirk, the go-ahead RBI double. Schneider, that triple. Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, it's amazing. Remember that game we went to, Gio, against Washington where we got the foul ball and David Peterson was pitching?
And he was great game and for a long time after that game.
He's been unbelievable, actually. He's given at least five innings every single outing since then until last night where he won four and a third.
How about this one? He allowed more than two runs for the first time in 10 road starts.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, all right, he had a tough night, and it's unfortunate that it happened last night, but he's really been the backbone of the pitching staff.
And your guy Pete Alonso came up quite small in a couple of spots.
You know, it's so frustrating. He is the guy, if Lindor is going to be a little bit off, because Lindor has been carrying this team, he's the guy that has to pick it up. And he has very few games to do it now.
All true. Mets now even with the Braves for the third wild card because Atlanta beat Washington 12-0. And now they fall two back in the loss column to both Arizona and San Diego, who both won. The Padres beat the Mariners 7-3. Diamondbacks beat the Rangers 6-0. At the stadium, there was not much happening for the Yankees offensively, while Kansas City...
Witt grounds it hard left side of the infield through a base hit. Dominguez charges. Isbell rounds third. Dominguez just flips it into second, doesn't throw home. It's an RBI single for Bobby Witt Jr. and the Royals strike first. They have a 1-0 lead.
And second, third, fourth, and fifth, Emmanuel Wabari with the call right here on the Fan. 5-0, the final score. That was Bobby Witt. You also had Salvador Perez with a pair of RBI singles and Seth freaking Lugo. 7 innings of 3-hit ball, 10 strikeouts. He's now 16-6. ERA of 2.94. First things first on KC and their lineup. Marcus Stroman says give them credit.
That lineup's really good on the other side. They're just put together like quality ABs. And you feel like they're just very, you know, pesky, and they just grind out and kind of do their best to get on base and then run. So it's a tough lineup to deal with.
Now, as for Lugo, what made him so good, it was Juan Soto?
He was pounding the strike zone. He was putting strike one and strike two to most of the other guys. But, yeah, definitely he's tough with a guy who has, like, nine pitches, and he was showing every pitch today. So he was throwing everything. He was confident about it, and he just keep us
nine pitches. Nine.
Yeah.
So now, Bassett has eight.
So think about this.
That was crazy.
These guys all pitch for the Mets.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to get another ex-Met winning a Cy Young?
That's impossible.
The Mets rotation this year has been far better than we expected.
Yeah, they have been. I'm not saying, it just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of these ex-Mets leave, and the next thing you know, everybody's talking about how many they have. Nine pitches, this one's got eight pitches. I mean, didn't they have all those pitches when they were here?
I don't know. I will tell you, though, Bassett is, I mean, he gave me anxiety watching him.
Yes, he did.
With the pitch clock, and he calls the pitches, which is interesting.
Huh.
And he's got eight of them.
But both those guys were good for the Mets. They weren't bad for the Mets. This wasn't like a Travis d'Arnaud situation where he never figured it out here and then went to the Braves and was a thorn in the side. Both Lugo and Bassett were good while they were
Lugo
here.
Really wasn't a starter one.
No, but he was great out of the bullpen. He was an awesome eighth inning guy for years for them. And Bassett, when he was here in 2022, was their most consistent pitcher that entire year when they ended up making the playoffs and should have won the division.
Tonight, you got Luis Gil making the start. So the Yankees lead the Orioles by a half game now atop the AL East as Baltimore beat Boston 5-3. In Philadelphia, the Phillies beat the Rays 9-4, and along the way,
the pitch. Oh, it plunked him. Castellanos points out at Uceda, and now he tosses away his wrist guard. He's pointing out at him, and everybody is coming towards the mound. Harper came at Uceda from behind, and everybody comes running out of the dugout. And Harper trying to be restrained by Brandon Marsh.
Yeah, you got to make sure you don't get thrown out here.
Yeah, well, I don't think he did, and it escalated, but nothing crazy. But this is another one of these situations where they're just yelling back and forth. I don't think any punches were thrown, but the bench is clearing in Philadelphia. 9-4 was the
final. You know what would be awesome if a guy just came out and just threw his body right into somebody, like body blocked them, you know, like made a tackle.
Yeah, like I suppose.
You had a guy that played high school football, and he came running out of the dugout and saw somebody and just housed them.
Yeah, like Bryce Harper came from second base. He could have just dove right at that pitcher right in his back.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like when Pedro threw Zimmer down to the ground.
Well, Zimmer went after. Didn't Zimmer go after him?
Yeah,
he was running towards him. Yeah, right.
That it's got to be one of the top five most bizarre moments in any professional sports league in this country.
Yeah.
You know, like when you had Antonio Brown take his clothes off and run off the field at MetLife Stadium, that's one. This one with, when you had Jeff Van Gundy hanging on to Alonzo Mourning's leg.
That's a good one.
That's another one, right?
What about the minor league umpire that was throwing hand grenades on all fours?
That's a minor league umpire. I'm talking about major leagues, professional sports, bizarre situations. That's all.
Yeah,
Don Zimmer and Pedro Martinez was crazy.
Just grabbed him by his head and threw him down.
Alomar spitting in the face of the umpire. I mean, spit in the face of the umpire.
Yeah, but that's like a disgusting thing, and Robbie Alomar, you know, paid the price for that. I would just say it's a weird, like something weird that happened on the field. Like you would never, like who would have ever expected Pedro Martinez to throw a 70-year-old, however old Don Zimmer was at the time, to the ground at home plate.
By his head.
By his head. That's like bizarre. Yeah.
Right. And now we celebrate him on MLB Network.
And what was the last, I'm just trying to think, in the NBA there's been some bizarre things. I know the Malice at the Palace was one, but that was still, that was like a fight between fans and players. I don't know. Maybe you can come up with some.
You came up with three good ones.
Yeah, those were good ones.
I always think too the Clemens Piazza one. It was just a broken bat. He just whipped it at Mike Piazza,
and Mike Piazza did nothing.
No, it was just a regular broken bat.
Well, it was just a cycle on the mound going out there. Are you kidding me?
All right, so let's get to the football. Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee on Tuesday continues with the loser theme going into the game and the way that this game would be perceived given the way it played out.
I think in general, the messaging was always going to be, if we won, we're going to the Super Bowl. If we lose, we're the shit.
Okay, here's the message to the fan base.
Come along for the ride. Don't, you know, unless you, if you want to jump off now, jump off, but then don't come back.
Don't come back.
You know what this reminds me of? The RELAX game.
Yeah, that was early on in the season, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the first game down in New Orleans. I think they got hammered in New Orleans like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was like
4 years ago, whatever it was.
31-0 or something, yeah.
He was RELAXing. That's what I felt like that was yesterday.
We have a couple different reactions here. One from Joe B that surprised me a little bit, that he actually didn't jump off the deep end.
I don't want to get too crazy week one. We knew this was going to be a difficult game and all of that. I mean, I didn't think the defense was going to get gouged like it did.
Bro, that's the problem, bro.
Right. Like, yes, no, of course.
All right, so bro, defense not bro. Good.
Everybody's
bro.
A lot of bro love there.
Yeah.
Then there's Chris Russo on SiriusXM who says...
Well, mind you, before you listen to this, everybody needs to know, I don't know if it's the clip where he references this, but he made a large bet on the Jets over.
That's not what this is about.
So
but okay.
Just remember, every one of his Jets takes are fueled by that.
Okay. Well, here he is talking about how the owner, Woody Johnson's not going to stand for this.
The Jets talk a bit. I'll tell you right now. Here's the bottom line. If this goes off the rails, and it shouldn't with this schedule, but if this goes off the rails and the Jets are 1-4 after five games, he's going to get Salah the hell out of there.
Okay, so that said, part of the reason he believes that he will make that move is because Woody's old. And you know what could be coming next.
Yes.
Woody's 100 years old. He is not, he can go any day, too. Everybody's making fun of me with the Jerry Jones comment last week when he's 82. I mean, Woody's no spring chicken.
How old is Woody?
He's got to be 70s, doesn't he? He's
been
a long time now.
Easily.
He's in great shape, but.
Yeah. 77.
Yeah. He's 77?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Christ. Makes 77 look pretty good.
Not bad.
He looks great for 77.
I agree. Giants take on the Commanders Sunday at 1. Here's Carl Banks on his Believe podcast. The Giant legends not exactly thrilled with the way the Giants played on Sunday.
When we were lining up to go out to be introduced as the top 100 players, and a guy who never really comments on games because he doesn't watch many of them was Lawrence Taylor. He looked at me, and this is a true story, folks. If you want to know what we were thinking at halftime, Lawrence looked at me and he said, Carl, I could pick 22 of us right now and go out and play better than these guys.
Probably not wrong, but...
And then Lawrence left the stadium, went to Six Flags to find his next girlfriend. Left that part out.
Yeah. Steelers preparing for week two. Justin Fields will be their starter, it looks like, because right now they're not sure about Russell Wilson. Panthers Pro Bowl defensive end Derek Brown done for the season with a knee injury. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill's attorney releasing a statement on his behalf demanding the immediate termination of the escalating officer from the whole incident on Sunday. The NFL says it's reviewing a civil lawsuit filed Monday against or accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery from 2020.
Like, what are they reviewing?
The Texans? I don't know.
The civil suit.
The timing of it to me is just like Deshaun Watson, terrible game, week one, everybody's crushing him again, and all of a sudden it's, listen, there's no doubt that this guy is, he's a pervert, weirdo, a lot of bad stuff happened, but it's like...
You know, and by the way, just to go back to Tyreek Hill, does anybody know exactly how fast he was going?
No, because the officer said he estimated 60 miles an hour at... But it was just done. There was no radar.
There was no radar. And they saw a McLaren, which is probably about a $500,000 car, I believe, flying through traffic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
that's okay. That's okay. We're allowed to do that?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. You're not allowed to do that. That's why I got pulled over.
Right. Yep.
And now, your former running back, Adrian Peterson, ordered by a Houston judge to turn over numerous assets as a means towards paying back a debt that is estimated at more than $12 million. So this has been going on for years.
Yeah. This is due in large part to a loan that he took out.
That's had crazy interest.
It has had crazy interest. It's gone way over the top, and the judge has had enough and said, we're starting to take your assets.
Now, his side is saying that they've tried to...
renegotiate.
Come to terms and that they're not having any of it. They want their money, but I mean, a lot of details there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you rather be Adrian Peterson with that $12 million having to pay back and your assets being ripped away from you, or Dave Grohl who had to
put out a statement saying that he had a baby with another woman?
That's not an easy question to answer.
I was like, I would.
$12 million.
I think if you're Adrian Peterson, you know, you don't even. Again, this is a tale of many professional athletes. You know, yeah. he actually got paid reasonably well.
I'd probably rather be Adrian Peterson.
People coming into your house and just taking your stuff away because you owe $12 million?
Dave Grohl probably just ruined his life.
They could probably.
Like his daughters probably hate him.
Yeah.
They may end up taking the house.
Adrian Peterson's house?
They could.
They just take it right up.
I don't know if they. Well, they may end up selling it.
Oof. Yeah, not a good situation.
No.
All right, thanks, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Phil Simms joins us at 8 a.m. this morning.
Mr. Phil Simms.
Yes, he will be joining us every single week, so looking forward to that. So I'm driving in, listening to the beginning of the warm-up show like I normally do. And I made this observation, and I am guilty of this as well. But this was one of the funnier ones or funnier examples of this that I've ever heard. So we tend to do this thing because Eddie Scazzeri is very well-informed with a lot of things, does a lot of reading. He's very curious. He's one of these guys that just is thirsty for knowledge. So when things come up about dogs, we'll go, right, Eddie, you know, maybe something hiking, right, Eddie, yarn, right, religion, like, hey, Eddie, isn't that true about this? Maybe an alien story in there, something like that. We'll go, right, Eddie, and then he'll have an answer for us. Something with geography is another thing.
And he usually gives the answer with confidence.
Right, and he does, and we're like, oh, okay, and then you feel like he's like a resource. He's almost like our own human Google when it comes to certain things.
Yeah, we're not fact-checking you when you give us your answer. We believe in what you're saying.
Yeah, and if I don't know, I don't know.
Right, so Eddie didn't even give an answer in this instance because the conversation kept going. But I think the checking with Eddie stuff has gotten to a point now where we got to just rein it in a little bit because Jerry checked with Eddie on a particular topic. I'm not sure why he thought Eddie would have any answers on this. So let's take a listen.
Puberty makes you smell.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You excrete certain.
God.
Right, Eddie? Right. You excrete like oils and different things. It's true.
I am not exaggerating. I laughed out loud. Jerry goes, right, Eddie, you excrete oils and certain things. You never answered that.
No, not a lot of times because I'm very, that's actually a very busy time for me during the warm-up show getting stuff ready. So if it just requires a nod, I will just nod to Jerry. And so I did nod.
You nodded with the oil excretion. So you said
that's
yes.
That's right.
So you did know something about
that.
So
Al, did you feel comfortable when Eddie nodded in the direction of Jerry when Jerry was explaining that to you? So you felt comfortable with the answer.
I felt comfortable with the answer because it made sense. What else would smell other than like excreting oils and sweat glands and things from pubescent boys?
Right. Like, so teenagers stink when they go through puberty because they excrete certain oils. Right, Eddie? My teenage puberty boy expert in there. Oh, it's incredible. So, yes. So
that's the smell.
That's
the smell. There's a lot of smells around here, too. Somebody's secreting something around here.
There's a lot of secretion in this building. There's no doubt about it. Brian in Wyckoff joins us, wants to talk some Jets. What's up, Brian? Good morning.
Booms, Geo. Good morning.
What up?
Hope all's well. Hey, first of all, thanks for the 9/11 remembrance and those remarks. You know, Booms, as you were saying, it's incredible. 23 years later, it feels like yesterday was in the middle of all that years ago. And, you know, it comes right back. And you think about the families today and those first responders. It's incredible. So thanks for that. Listen, Geo, you know, on the Jets' first take, you know, let's be fair a minute. Okay, these guys who claim to be the 85 Bears defense, right, that chirp all day long. Okay, no McCaffrey. They give up 400 yards of offense. They give up 150 to a backup running back. They get 32 hung on them. It should have been 45. All right, they never had the ball. 40 minutes of possession that they give up. I mean, come on. So, I mean,
it's more in the relation to the reaction, and this is why I framed it this way. It was more in relation to the reaction last year where
there was so much. I remember Evan going, the season's not over. The season's not over. They won the game. You know, the Giants lost the game, and the Jets won the game. And then Joe going, I feel pretty good. And then BT going, playoffs with Zach. Like, everybody, all the Jet fans last year, after winning a football game but yet losing Aaron Rodgers, were so fired up about the team still.
Because they won the game.
Right, because they won the game. Yes. But here, yes, they lost the game, and everything you said was right. And the defense got steamrolled, but to me, like, there's so much more hope, and they're going to win. Well, they're going to be favored in their next four games. They're probably going to win them all.
And listen, and you're right. I think there's some hope, right, for Jet fans. But, man, in eight straight drives, they gave up a score.
Against, like, one guys, of the best teams in football, and a team that's favored to come out of the NFC.
And by the way, you know, it would help if the offense would have converted a couple third downs.
Well, yeah.
You know, and keep the ball and hold on to the ball. This is why it's a team game. Mm. You know, yes, the defense got steamrolled, but the offense also got manhandled. You know, when you think about it, and you think about the amount of plays that the 49ers were able to run offensively and the amount of time that they were able to possess the ball, it doesn't help when your offense is struggling against that defense. And that defense is one of the better defenses in football.
That is so correct.
I mean, it's the first time that Aaron Rodgers legitimately had time to go out and play football since he got here. All right, so he hadn't played four quarters since 2022. And part of, like, my thing about him playing in preseason, and maybe he just wanted to stay off the MetLife Stadium field, I don't know, but part of me wanting him to play was getting himself not only physically ready to play in a game, but also mentally ready to play in a game. And when you are in a competitive sport and you are playing four quarters for the first time in 2 years, you forget the mental aspect of the game and how much that takes out of you. So, I took a lot of positive out of the game. It's unfortunate the defense collapsed, but I'm not overly surprised. Now, the next 3 or 4 weeks, the quarterbacks that they're playing, the defense should not give up plays like this and numbers like this. They should be able to reestablish their footing, as many would say.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.